the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He's the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said one, two, three.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida.
All right.
Now, let's start the show.
And Jay Guy.
What up, what up, what up?
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show on Tuesday, May 31st.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday. And our new format of the show, we're going to be here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Right? No more whenever
time,
it happens.
Yeah.
Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Live on Facebook. You can go to Wake Up Late with, you go to Dougie Almeida page. And then, of course, we share it after on stuff, and eventually we're going to go to our fan page on Facebook and just broadcast from there. And Jay and I were sharing some ideas. I'm going to spend a little money in the studio here and fix this, get a little more professional. We're going to
upgrade.
Going to commit to a real set in a.
This actually looks real. This is a really nice studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have this like?
I look at the desk. The desk guy is a shitty desk. You know, this isn't like a nice desk. I should at least have something around the front of the desk.
Well, you can cover the desk up.
Yeah. I mean, that's not hard.
Is this a LLC? Do you write this off on your taxes?
Yeah. All the money I pick up on our patron page. man. We had people donating. I was getting like $8 a month coming in. I'm
nice,
like,
man.
You know, that
crushing
was it.
It.
Where we have Pod. I'm on Podcorn. There's an advertising service. So I have the pre-URL now in the system. So I can actually go out. There's companies that are looking for. You know, they'll like, but you have to say the ad. Hey, by the way, guys, I don't know if you know it, but ribbed condoms. You know, you start doing those kind of quick and every,
right,
you know,
right,
at least
right.
Twice on the set. And I'll do it. I'll find, I've been looking at this. Most of them are horseshit, you know, hair replacement, you know. Anyway, guys. Russ Oasis, by the way, unfortunately discovered that underwear forcibly worn on your head acts as a corona mask. Now, Jay, that's a joke. Russ, Russ is a new comic, and you know,
right.
And anybody who watches the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, a lot of our normal viewers are comics also, and you know, but once you put something out like that, that's it.
Yeah,
you know, you did.
It's hard. It's hard to do internet comedy.
You did. You know, the local South Florida Improvs does comics in quarantine, right?
Yes,
and you did that last night.
I did that last night.
Little sit down, social media.
Me and my good friend Luis Diaz from Miami Improv, we sat down and discussed, you know, current events and topics and what's going on at the Improv.
So what'd you guys talk about?
we talked about the virus a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit?
It's still, I would say right now it's still probably available on Instagram on Miami Improv's.
Cool.
That page, but
you know, big thing as a comic, people are saying, hey, why don't you do something, you know, do a live stand-up, and you know, listen,
no.
I did have the idea if it was possible to maybe go to Tavolino's when, you know, they do takeout service, but basically bring a camera, have some people come up, throw a fucking laugh track in there. You know what
that
I mean?
That might be better.
You know what I mean?
Need a laugh track.
You know, just a tight shot on the stage. Nice stage, and you have somebody just roll out 5-minute sets. Just have people come up, a little showcase, and we do it once a week. And then, you know, we have a patron donation. I'm going to talk to you about something I might be doing with my potential government dollars that are coming.
All right,
yeah,
nice.
I might give back to the system. What's up, Randy Vega?
Yo, Randy Vega,
what's up,
man?
Boy? All right,
you got here just in time. I'm about to shit on virtual open mics again.
Yeah.
That's what I did on the.
But yeah, but you know, I had somebody call me today. That's, hey, well, we're thinking about doing a show, like a variety show, and I'm like, all right, that might be. But even then, I thought, you know what? Instead of just doing stand up in front of a camera, you know, holding a mic like I'm on, acting, I'd rather maybe just do something in that sense where I'm just going to sit there, put that camera right up on here, and go, hey, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, from the comedy studios and Danger Studios.
I think that's more entertaining, man.
You know, I am Dougie. I mean, in lieu of the coronavirus, stand-up comedy is dead, but sit-down-in-my-bedroom comedy is alive and well.
Well, I want to tell you, you got to do it. Do it with high quality.
Yeah.
Do it high quality because there's a lot of people out there doing that right now
right.
on Instagram Live from yeah. their cubicle.
Yeah.
And you ever, this is what's so good about virtual comedy, watching it and not performing it. You watch somebody on a computer screen do their jokes and they don't get the laughter that you get, the response, the natural response live. So it feels like you're bombing, right? That's you're doing your jokes. There's no laughter. You feel like you're bombing. And the worst part about that is you're already home, so you can't leave. You can't go anywhere.
It's like a new phone. You can't slam it. You got to just press a button.
It's terrible.
You know, I just don't feel it. You know, and I did the podcast this weekend in times of crisis, by the way, which I think it may get an award. It was like a modern day newscast.
It was intense, man.
Yeah,
you went in.
You heard the whole thing.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of it. I was doing construction, listening to
cool.
it.
Cool. You know, I said I don't know how funny I feel, but you know, let's get to talking.
That's a good disclaimer.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna start all my shows like that.
It's a Bob Barrow. This is the funniest person I've ever seen. And you go up there and fuck.
Yeah.
This guy's gonna expect me to jump 18 feet. Yeah, I don't, you know, the whole thing to me, I think there's other sources. If in fact you're going to be sitting, you know, at home and you're quarantined, you need distance and stuff, you know, then it's got to be a different venue. You're going to have to change it up. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you have to do something like we're doing. You have to do, you know, like I've seen some comics, like Sam Morrell does a nice bit with his girlfriend.
He does. So,
it's a funny bit. Yeah, my buddy James Camacho in New York, young comic, has stolen his, inspired, I guess, by Sam, and doing stuff like that. And I think it's fun. I think it's fun too. Like a lot of comics are just going on live because I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do it on Instagram like that. We're just going
to
go on live for a little bit,
talk
and
to
have
the people,
a moment.
Man. People are, you know, they're at home.
It's just embarrassing. Like when you do something like that and you look up, there's like two people. Like, oh.
Yeah, that's a horrible feeling.
You know, that's like having like that's
you know
like you're like you're like Charlie Brown on Valentine's Day.
Here's the opposite of that: when you jump into somebody's live and you're the only one in there, and they're like, "Oh, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah,
good to see you.
Hey, just hang up. Let me call you on the phone."
That's exactly what's supposed to happen.
You know, it's a real fucked up situation. I spent a lot of time talking about it. If you missed it, it's on we're on Spotify, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
man.
We are on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and, of course, Podbean.
Branching out.
Yeah, man. You know, everybody wants to hear it. So go to that. You know, the show is about in times of crisis, and there's basically a handbook of how to handle yourself in times of crisis. And, you know, one of those things is it's time to put the blame aside, the fighting aside. We must unite to a common goal of saving this country and the health of this country and every life, you know. That's it. We got one thing to do, and that's it. And if you want to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, it's so-and-so's fault we don't have these masks.
That's not going
to
do
it. I'm like, really? You know, somebody posted, and my buddy Tony Gonzalez, by the way, is posting to me on Facebook right now, a person I'd known a long time. You're in the family. We all grew up in Tony, we all lived in the same area, you know, growing up as a kid. Knew in the family. And this person posted that story about how Trump, I guess, fired the entire pandemic response team. Obama did it, so I'm going to get rid of all these people. You're fired. Get the fuck out. When in truth was that nobody was fired. They just took two divisions and made it one.
Okay.
And then nobody got fired. They just said, look, there's no reason to have two different groups. Let's just make this one. This is what we're trying to do, you know, whatever.
It's a nice clickbait.
Yeah. So the person posts in there and basically blames that, you know, and I'm like, and I basically say, hey, this is not true. This has already been disproven. Even some of my best liberal friends have, yeah, have admired
the world of it's, headline.
It's,
click here for
it's
the headline.
It's horse shit. And here's the thing. Horse shit or not horse shit, it always goes back to, why the what the fuck, you know? And then I just said, hey, it's not true, and blah, blah, blah. And you're doing this in this these times and trying to, and it's not even true. And then you're telling people to spread the word. You know, do you think spreading is a good idea right now? You know, anybody who, you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't get the anything. Fucking, the and listen, I was very, my post was nice. I wasn't rude, right? And then she came back, how dare you attack me just for posting. You know, it was just like, attack. Unbelievable. People don't get it.
No, they don't.
I don't want, just listen to that show. But that happened just today, or, you know. And again, no time for that. The person said, don't you ever come back? And I said, don't worry, I'm never coming back. You know, one of those. What? And I took, remember the last time I told you I had one of these situations before I blocked somebody?
Yeah.
Guess what I did this time?
Wow.
Last word, baby. My,
that's what you're supposed
and
to
by
do.
The way, Tony posted. Word. Look how long that response is.
Oh, that is an ex-girlfriend message right there.
Look at that. My
right there, my brain hurts.
Okay, Doug Almeida, before I go into this, I want to let you know if you went to a dress person, again, telling me how to address people. I have a podcast. I don't know how to speak. I'm a stand-up comic. I don't know how to speak. Unbelievable. You know, here's a person. Here's a person that's a waitress at fucking Denny's.
Oh, man.
And she's telling me, no offense to waitresses at Denny's, but...
That's what it sounded like.
No, it doesn't. Listen, I'm just saying, you know, if you are a waitress and a... working the graveyard shift, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terrible tips,
except for on like Fridays or Saturdays.
Who the fuck would put up with that?
If you're like on a college campus nearby there.
Yeah, those cheap bastards. And hey, by the way, since we're on this, and I did have somebody message me because in my show,
mm-hmm.
I commented about another Facebook interaction, which was somebody had posted, and again, in times of crisis. You know, let's try to get together. Let's put shit aside. Let's do our duty.
How about you dealing with people?
Stay home. You know, don't hoard. Help if you have excess, share. You know, it's that simple. And but this one particular woman on Facebook posted, if you voted for Trump or if you still support him, I want you to unfriend me right now or something like that. You know, and this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so here's a person who's questioning who your ideology,
mm-hmm,
and wondering, asking who you voted for,
mm-hmm,
which is not very different than asking who you pray to, or
yeah,
if you pray,
close.
You know what I'm saying? And then has the nerve to say, you know what, if you made that decision, out of my life, you're out, unfriend me, you're gone, you're an asshole. Meanwhile, you're thinking, you're a stripper. You know, you're judging me for who I made a decision I've made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You're judging one of my decisions when your crotch is bedded up against the brass pole three nights a week. And here's the thing. I think of this first in a logical sense. I'm not, you know, morally, you know, how many fathers are going to be real proud going, hey, Susan's a stripper, did I tell you? So you know what I'm saying?
I don't,
it's not like I'm being out of line.
Yeah.
You know
like
what I mean?
You wouldn't, like if your daughter was, you know, a porn star, you wouldn't be like, hey, check.
Yeah. Hey, you want to pull up my daughter on RedTube?
But the other opposite end of that is like, if, you know, if somebody was like, hey, if you support Satan and you do satanic rituals, unfriend me right now. I'd be like, all right, I get that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. If you have killed somebody and you haven't been caught,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I get it.
Unfriend me.
Yeah. but obviously that there's a difference, right?
There's a huge difference.
The
but
fucking
also,
difference,
there's
dude.
Similarities there.
Yeah.
But shit.
There's no similarity if somebody strips or if they fucking are into Satanism. All right. So here's my thing. I'm the whole point of it is it's a bad decision. In other words, and it's not a bad decision just solely because the morality has nothing to do with the morality aspect. The bad decision is that when you take a job as a stripper, the money's great.
Yeah.
The hours are shorter in a sense. There's a little more tolerance you got to put up with. But I'm saying it's not like you got to go work 40, 50 hours a week.
Right.
Right.
No, you don't.
It's more of a flex hour, especially if you're hot and you got advantages. You know, you could show up and come when you go. come and go as you please. I don't know where I thought come so much. But all I'm saying is that, you know, you end up getting almost spoiled because you're making that much money. You're doing it for an extended period of time. Now, what's step two? If, in fact, it isn't finishing school, because, listen, a lot of girls did that through school because they had a plan. I'm going to do this for 2 or 3 years. I'm going to make money. I'm going to college, and then I'm going to move on in life, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to have a job that supports that income that you're making to continue that
lifestyle.
Listen,
a stripper is no different than a professional athlete. There's only so many years in the biz, all right? I'm not downgrading a professional athlete. I'm sharing some of the concerns.
Yeah, I've seen some, geriatrics in the day show. And they're still trying to live it up.
Ever go to Cheetah 3 at fucking 11 o'clock in the afternoon or morning? Free lunch, everybody. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying it's a bad decision on several levels, not to be demeaning to the profession. It's more of a you made that decision, and you're questioning and you're throwing that out. It's not just saying, hey, you know what? This is a decision I'm going to make. If someone's going to be a certain, like, if somebody's into Satanism, I'm really not going to ask to be invited to the next party.
Right.
I'm going to keep that to myself. I'm not going to sit there and make a proclamation to the fucking world. Guess what? If you voted for Trump or still support him, I'm going to unfriend you. You unfriend me. Now I got to go back to my poll. Question my decisions. And that's the world we know. Collective Soul, by the way, you can download it on iTunes.
I'm really grateful for strippers. I think they provide an outlet.
Absolutely, just like prostitutes. I call them professionals, by the way, to be honest with you. And here's the thing. I mentioned this once, I spent $30,000 in strip clubs 1 year.
That sounds like a great year.
Yeah, well, it has its memory, and it was business. I was a representative for one of these big financial planning firms.
Oh, so you got to write some of that off.
Yeah,
Listen,
I'm still a fiduciary. I was ethical. In other words, you go to Rachel's, which is like a steakhouse.
Yeah,
so
you
take five brokers out to dinner.
That's a big,
with wine, it's $800 a grand. You know, for that many people
grand.
On the. Not 800 grand, 800 to a grand.
800 or a grand.
Yeah, about for, a couple bottles of wine, some steaks for four or five people each.
It's a business.
It's a bit. That's a dinner. It's a meeting. But then, of course, you'd stroll over to the
yes, you would.
To the lounge. And, and then that's when you'd say, here's cash. You would buy. that's good.
Hilarious.
Have you gotten so many videos, by the way? Everybody's home, so everybody's sending you these fucking videos.
Yeah.
And it's good, but you keep getting the same one from 10 different people.
Yeah.
It's like an open mic premise meeting.
It's like memes.
Yeah.
Look
at Mark's nasty, dude. Mark sends all these dirt. There's some of these videos I get that are just so nasty.
It's going in.
And my wife's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, you have to fucking stick your head in here now when I'm pulling up this opening? Any rate, so I don't mean any bad feeling to the strip club industry. I'm just saying that there's a just to finish what I'm saying. So here's somebody does that and now they have to get a regular job, and it's so hard.
Yeah,
you can't go now. You get I'm going to make $250. $300
sugar daddy.
You know what I mean?
And hopefully, if you play your cards right, you found that in the strip club.
Yeah, you didn't just waste your time in there. That's right. Listen, if you're going to work at a Subway, you better learn how to run things. It's not bad working at a Subway if you're managing it or owning them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it like you work at Subway. No, you work at Subway. I own four of them. Oh, that's different.
It's good to have a friend that works at Subway.
Hell yeah.
Get a lot of free subs.
They do the wraps now, too. It's good for me. I'm trying to stay thin because...
Did you date a stripper before?
I
feel like I've had this conversation with you.
What is this, fucking 2020? I had,
me too, man.
Yeah, I had some,
How long was it?
they never last more than 2 weeks. I told you, I have a 2 week rule to stripper. That's
two
it.
2 week rule?
2 week rule. It don't matter how good it's going. It don't matter how many things are happening.
You gotta break it off before you get emotionally attached.
It's like a firework, man. You like that shit? Watch it. All right, move on. It turns into a bad nightmare. You know what I mean? It always turns out to a bad. By the third, fourth week, next thing you know, you're showing up at the club and no one's there anymore. You're there till 3 a.m. Hey, did Susie leave yet? Yeah, she left earlier, dude. Some guy in a fucking truck.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You know what I mean? Then you're going, wow. So never 2 weeks. Never happens in 2 weeks.
No.
In 2 weeks, things are rolling high, and then you say, gots to go. And then you go, and then what happened? Then when you know what she does, she goes to the other strippers in the strip club, and she says, I can't believe he left me. And the other strippers are going, wow, he left you? What's he got going? And next thing you know, you show up at the club. Hey.
Yeah. That's a game.
Round two. Until
free
a couple of them
right
are sitting,
here.
Until
pay
a
attention.
Few of them are sitting back there going, I went out with Doug. Yeah, me too. About 2 weeks. Yeah, me too. 2 weeks.
That was an expensive $30,000 a year, man.
No, none of that money. You know what I'm saying? So out of the $30,000, there was probably about 15, half of it or 12 of it was actual written off. But
all right, nice.
I still documented the number.
Yeah, man.
Hey, speaking of money, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are wanting to come to the U.S.
Oh, they didn't come yet? I thought they were coming.
They're coming, but they want the U.S. taxpayer to pay for their security. Now, I thought these guys wanted to be regular folks, right? Didn't they say they just want to be regular? They don't want to be royalty.
Well, I mean, they're always going to be celebrities, and that's going to take them right out of that normal that normal category.
You
want
to pay? You want part of your FICA to go to take care of Prince Harry?
Is that what's going to come out of my FICA?
It's going to come right out of that FICA, dude. It's going to come right out of that fucking FICA. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
They
want people to pay for their security?
Yeah. Well, you know, Trudeau did it in Canada.
Oh.
He was like, yeah, I want you here. Stop talking about my blackface.
That's true.
You know, that's true.
Dude, I wish I had a friend who did blackface.
You did?
No, I wish I did.
You wish you had a friend like in the past, like if you were looking through your old
pictures?
Yeah,
and I was
pictures,
like,
oh,
I remember John
holy
when he
shit.
Fucking did blackface.
You could fucking bribe
John,
the asshole.
John, remember? Yeah.
John. Hey, John, you want to give me $100? Why, man? Want to see this fella?
Can you write me a prescription?
Still get those oxys? I saw that. It was weird. I mentioned the stripper again. One of my listeners says, I thought you were a little condescending, you know, into somebody's profession. Not everybody. See, when something like that comes up, it's always like, not everybody has a college degree.
No, listen, I get it. You're trying to shit on somebody, and then their profession is the only thing that you're going in on, but it has nothing to do with the profession. You're just like, fuck this person. That's what you're saying.
To me, it's like, don't question other people's decisions.
Yeah, no, don't.
If your decisions were really not one that you can write in a book, you know, of achievements. Now, I relate it. Whenever I think of this.
I just think about it, somebody writing book of achievement number.
It's in my book of achievements. I felt the same way when I was a broker, right? When I started doing bank brokerage, I started working for a firm, and then I ended up, a buddy of mine worked in a bank. So here you are sitting in a bank and all the money's there, and you get spoiled. So if something would happen with that, it was like one of those moments, even my own mind, I said, God, if I get so used to working this easy, you know, I used to call like Chamber of Commerce lists to meet people during the day at their business and talk about their retirement plan or whatever, and then hope to set up something with them at night to go to their house and worry about, you know. So I'd be working 8 a.m. till 10, you know, all day. When you worked in the bank, 9 o'clock, you're sitting there. Hi, Mrs. Smith. Oh, you go, you know, oh, you got all this money coming due, all this money in the bank coming due, and you're sitting there, and at 5 o'clock, I'm out of here.
Cake.
You don't have to call people on the phone, and you know what I mean? It was great. So that's why I was like, oh, I wonder when this gravy train's going to end.
It's
What
you're saying is that's like a stripper?
It's the same thing.
Like this,
I don't want to be spoiled. Again, I'm thinking about that income level. And here's the real, I actually remember explaining this one time as I was being a daddy figure with one of these broads.
Okay.
That, you know, I said, look, you know, here's the problem. You know, let's say you do this for 4 or 5 years, right? It's fun. You know, it's a lot of party, you know, all the good.
You were schooling.
Schooling.
You're doing your fiduciary.
I was still fucking advising, man. I'm still trying to help. And I'm saying, here's the problem.
You're a saint.
Want to go, you want to do your own thing, and you sit down in this office, a beautiful office, somebody referred you, thinking, oh, this would be a great job to have. And then the person behind the desk asks you, well, what have you been doing for the last 4 years? You know, can you type 50 words a minute? Can you do spreadsheets? Can you do Outlook? You know what I mean? They start asking all these things that somebody who actually had another job or did something else would actually be proficient in a lot of these necessary things of a daily duty of someone in management or whatever it is. But you don't. The only thing you know how to do is swing on a fucking pole. Right. And, you know, and read a guy's PIN number from the ATM card from five feet.
Oh, man. They're not all doing that.
There's a couple that have. I got shaked down one time. It's called the pothole in Pompano. It's called the porthole. Porthole, but I called it the pothole. I went there all whacked there one night. Some two girls are all over me, and I'm punching in my number, and I didn't realize.
Did you do it at the strip club ATM?
Yeah, of course. What are you going to do? Go somewhere else at that point?
ATM
yeah.
ATM fee.
and that's why you got to get, like, I got to get as much money as possible to make this worth it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to keep up with everybody here on Facebook, but I'm doing my best.
Dude, I think your screen is, like, lagging. I see so much activity on my phone here.
Joe Gonzalez says, if you've been to the porthole, you are CV19 immune. I'm telling you, these two girls, hot. I'm in there, and I had shorts on and everything. It was really bad.
You were wearing shorts
in a strip
club?
Yeah, I was partying hard that
you're
night.
Terrible.
Yeah, I left somebody's house late. That place opened until 4 in the morning. So I'm in there.
Yeah, they deal with terrible people.
Yeah, and I'm in there, and they're all over me, and I go to my ATM, and I go back, and the two of them in the room, and one of them takes a break. Yeah, she took a break all right.
Oh, that's
cool. She grabbed my card out of my pocket and took $400 out.
That's it?
That's all that you're allowed to at that
good.
Point.
That's,
yeah.
That's good you had a limit on there. Did you go back? Did you complain?
Oh, yeah, dude. I showed up my AR-15. No, I actually called the club. I go, hey, man, I just pulled up my card, and I realized Betsy and Bitsy fucking ran me. They're like, what do you want me to do, dude? I'm like, all right.
What do you want me to do, man? Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Yeah. Never mind. Sorry. I'm being an asshole. All right. So I'm sorry if you're hurt, but, you know, just don't. Even with all that said, don't question what other people do. Or why they do it. You know what I mean? I don't care to know who you voted for. I don't care who you prayed to. You know what I mean? That should not matter to me. It really should not fucking matter to me. Right? I mean, think about it. That should not really matter to me who you voted for, who you choose to sleep with, who you pray to. You know what I mean? Those things really should not matter to me.
Unless we're talking about, like, Last Comic Standing or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I want to know who you voted for on that thing.
Oh, well, yeah, okay, that's an opinion. Oh, I can't believe you voted for, yeah. All right. I mentioned this earlier. There are people, through all that's happened, and by the way, has this not been, like, Groundhog Day? I mean, you're still working. You're still keeping a pretty active schedule,
yeah.
Right? A lot of people are home and stuff. I still go to my office on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's just my office manager there. And, you know, it's not like a bunch of people. And my partner who lives in Georgia, you know, he's barely in his office. So I go in my office. I don't have clients coming in and things like that. But, you know, so I do that a couple days a week, and I work out of the house. But basically I'm home. I mean, there's days I wonder did I brush my teeth today?
You ever
you know what I mean?
Stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'm saying you wake up every day. Like I wake up.
Are your days merged now? Do you I don't know what day it is.
We take the dog out for a walk before it gets dark. You know what I mean? It's like this routine. Every year we have a couple. You know, what day is it? I don't know. Is it Saturday? Is it Thursday? Is it Sunday?
It sounds mind numbing.
Things are going nuts.
Groundhog Day. Now I get it.
Now it makes sense. Oh, God. Oh, we're doing good. How are you kids doing? All right. The last thing I was going to talk about, I was concerned about the comedy industry because I was having a conversation.
Yeah, it's rough, man.
Comedy clubs are closed. Bars are closed. There's certain states in the country that don't have a shutdown. Like if you're in Nevada, right? Or not Nevada, Nebraska, right? And there's certain places that aren't.
Who's in Nebraska?
I don't know. It's a couple people.
listening to this right now.
No, I'm just, you know, I mean, like New York, the coast.
Yeah, that's shut down.
Everything's shut down. And you know, you got to, the first thing that you go, comes to mind is like, are these people going to be open depending how long this lasts? You know, the president says we're going to keep this thing going till the end of April, right? Social distancing, which, by the way, is proving to work. If you look at the numbers in Italy and any place that did it, it's been proven to really fucking, you know, keep the numbers down. You know what I mean? And we're going to go over some stories of people that just couldn't fucking do that. There's still people that still have a hard, like, people are probably looking at us going, I can't believe they're in the same fucking room. You know what I mean? But you know,
do you think they're still doing comedy shows in Nebraska right now?
I don't know. I don't think there's
any
comedy
shows. Bookers over there.
Well, we usually only get three people show up at the show anyway, so it's under the number. No, I don't think there's any shows. But yeah, but the, you know, so how long? I mean, they just announced April 3rd. The package is there, so the lending ability, small businesses, which is a lot of comedy clubs, can actually go get a loan. It is a forgivable loan. So if you borrow to keep the employees employed, now of course there's a few managers, bartenders, some wait staff, right?
The important people.
You keep them, yeah. The marketing staff, you know what I mean? You don't want to be sending out marketing to people for shows when you don't know when it's going to open. So you got to look at that. But you know, you get to keep people paid. And that's the problem with that deal, because if you have a comedy club, you don't have that much employees. What you're really concerned about is the rent, the mortgage, you know, the downtime of the revenue. which, by the way, that's why if you're ever going to own something, try to leverage as little as possible. Like if you own the comedy club, let's say you own the venue, it's yours, you're the building and stuff, and aside from payroll and stuff, you really
you're
didn't have to work.
Right now.
It's just like a house, you know. If you own the home, you're not sitting there going, "Shit, I got to make my $1,000-$1,500 rent payment." Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, the improv is more than 15.
Yeah, I think it's a bit higher.
I'm pretty sure it's
I think it's over 50 grand a month.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. And every time that happens, yeah. And you can't expect, with those numbers, you can't expect banks and stuff to go, we can't gotta fuck it. Now, I'll say this, too. Like, even in hurricanes in Florida, if you have a mortgage, any bank, you can go to any bank, your bank, and say, I need 60, 90 days. And it's not bad and hard with a mortgage because they'll just push that shit to the back. They did it during Wilma. They did it during Irma. They offered that. My bank's offering me now, but I'm like, I'm good. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'm paying this bitch off. So all I care about now is paying off my mortgage.
Yeah, so you could be sitting nice.
Just think about that commit. Like, there's a lot of shit I can't do because of that. You know what I mean? It's a discipline. It's something I got to do. Right, it's something I'm striving for. Why?
You were talking about this on your show,
right? Because if something like this fucking happens,
mm-hmm.
right, not having to worry about a $1,500 or $2,500 a month payment,
it's nice.
You can sit back and like, oh, I'll see what happens tomorrow. I never like to freak out about shit I have no control over. So let's hope. The other question is, are people going to go back to doing things? I can tell you something. I don't think people are going to go back to cruise ship. I don't know how many fucking people listen, and my people have talked about this, and I really feel bad for the cruise ship comics that I know and people that, you know, make a living on the boat. But I've never been a big fan of cruise ships. Way before this, there was always these stomach issues and these people
get
you know what I mean. There's a lot of that shit that kept coming.
I've actually never been on a cruise.
You never been on a cruise? Yeah, dude. I mean, they're fun. They're fucking awesome. But just this, you know what I'm saying? It's mostly
because I can't swim.
Yeah. Listen, I've seen people come back sick on a cruise ship, but I never come back to see that it fucking tipped over.
Yeah, no.
And everybody's swimming to the shore. Yeah, it's the only cruise, Jay's first cruise that actually capsized.
Dude, that's crazy. I booked my first cruise this year.
Yeah.
For June for a friend's birthday party.
Right.
And
that's not happening.
No, that's not.
Now happening. Let me ask you: what if they even tell you, like, in like things, like even they tell you in the next 60 days, hey,
nah,
it's still on, you're not going?
I don't think so.
No, like I'll get on a plane again. I don't have an issue getting on a plane. I don't have a problem going to a show. Mm. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think once this is gone, people are going to go, well, fucking, I'm getting the fuck. Like, I think the party starts. You know, they got to worry about that for a relapse in this shit, but. But basically, when it comes to the business and shit, I think people are going to come back to the shows. I just hope that the comedy clubs can stay open. That's my biggest fucking concern
during
this time, because that's hard, man.
Maybe we could all pull our government assistance money together.
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I mentioned that because I have something I mentioned. I may want to donate mine and start like one of these GoFundMe things. And I don't want to give much away because then somebody else is going to copy it and they're going to fucking do it. And when I'm still thinking about it, and then I'm going to be like, you know, I invented the pet rock. So, you know what I mean? I'll tell you a little after the show, which would incorporate a big thing potentially.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
And
I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'll tell you about it at the show, and then we'll
and
keep
then when you drop it, you could tell your listeners about it.
Yeah, go back to March 31st when we first talked about it. Anyway. You guys are the best.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for all you do, Peter.
Nadeem Awad says he's doing magic now.
Nadeem's doing magic?
He said comedy's over.
Well, he was doing magic. He was doing magic as a comic. He was making the crowds disappear. I'm only kidding, buddy. That's a fucking magic
that's
joke.
Terrible. Shout out Nadeem. What's up, bro?
Yeah, buddy. What were you? Nadeem, weren't you like gardening? Wasn't he fucking? Oh fuck! Look at that. All these people writing shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Whatever.
So what's in the news, man?
Lee Jordan says he's going back on a cruise ship. That's interesting.
As a comic or as a
I don't know. Lee Jordan. He's not. I was gonna say he's not a comic. I mean, he does comedy, but he's not cruise ship comic. I don't want to get. Oh. There we go. You got everything you say. Someone's gonna fucking freak out. I can't believe you said that about me. Anyway, it's not him. All right. I don't know if you heard the story. This was I talked about stupid things during the coronavirus in Florida. You hear about the mega church pastor who got arrested for having fucking, please pass the plate around.
Oh, he's having service?
Yeah.
What?
Tampa pastor arrested for holding church services despite safe at home order.
Oh, man.
As churches across the country grapple with how to balance worship in quarantine.
Did they say his age?
Tampa area pastor has been arrested for holding services and violating a county safe at home order.
That's probably one of the nicest headlines about a pastor.
Yeah. At least I didn't sleep with a little kid.
You know, it ended nicely. You know what I'm saying? Pastor violates, and then I'm just like, oh, no.
Oh, he just.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was just collecting money in a.
Just having service.
Local governments around the country are urging people to stay. Yeah, in Florida, the river at Tampa Bay Church remained open on Sunday, this past Sunday.
Yeah, some people, man, they have their routines. Like, right now you're developing your Groundhog Day routine, but some people already had that.
Yeah.
The church was a big part of it. And I'm sure, just like some comics right now who are throwing maybe some underground comedy shows.
That's, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy said, you know, God will watch us, whatever, in Florida. It says here.
I wonder if somebody snitched on him.
Well, you know, could you imagine? I mean, think about it. If you were driving around Sunday and you saw 800 cars in front of
a
mega
church,
it's a big fucking
church.
Yeah, this is one of those little steeple churches.
So here's the thing. You charge the pastor. Do you charge all of the people that went to contribute? You can't have a service.
These people are grown-ups. There's some responsibility, again, in the beacon being the pastor and the church. You know, they're the ones who are supposed to be able to make a better decision for their flock. In the Florida church opened on Sunday to a public despite a safer at home issued by the county, an order that includes places of worship. While the church has encouraged sick parishioners to stay home. Yeah, don't come if you're sick. All right, everybody come to praise the Lord, but if you're sniffling, stay the fuck home. I mean, stay home.
Gotta pay that rent, man. You're a mega church.
God is not free. While the church says the church said in the statement it felt obligated to stay open. And by that, we mean we got to pay our fucking bills. Mm-hmm. We expect our police and firefighters to be ready and available to rescue and help to keep the peace, the church said in a statement. So look at this guy. He's comparing him to you. I mean, I need my paramedics and my first responders out there, right, if I need help.
I'm there.
You know, there's a big concern in New York. A lot of New York police officers are sick from COVID-19. So, you know, there is a little bit of a concern in other level of circles of life that things may get violent if this persists. Like, in other words, if work, if there's no work for 90, 120 days.
Are you thinking they're closing some, it's putting some cops down too?
Well, what I'm saying is without that, the fact that if we go 120 days with no work and things are really become.
Yeah, people get desperate.
People, even some of the best people, you know, even if the best people want to do something bad, the bad people are going to do things that are worse.
Yeah.
So if you got a gun, you better be fucking carrying it everywhere. I take my dog for a walk. I may be carrying a gun, you know? Why, you know, can you imagine you're sitting there walking and...
Heavy hint on the maybe there.
I was actually thinking, should I admit this or not? Yeah, don't go to church. You know, don't... again, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Just stay away from people, man. Just, there's no fucking reason. Joe Gazzal says, meanwhile, Walmart is taking cash. Yeah, you feel bad that there's some of the people working in the stores are like, hey, man.
Brave cashiers, man.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I wonder if strip clubs are, no?
Nah, ain't no strip club.
I'm just saying the money that cashiers are touching right now, you know, they're not gloved up.
No. No, there's no strip clubs open.
No.
I already looked. I was even thinking about a massage parlor. So I'm wondering, you know what I mean? Could you imagine somebody going to a massage parlor? You're worried about touching anything? It is an essential.
I heard nail salons and hair salons are still open.
Well, not my wife was closed. They closed my wife's hair salon. Yeah, so she hasn't. They said we're done for a little bit. But she's got people calling her like, hey, I need to get the mic. Because when you think about it, there's people going, oh, my God, I look like a wreck. Hey, man, this is the only, that's one of the interesting, it's again, like, don't you get, when life deals you lemons, make lemonade, right? It's one of those moments. So if things are the way they are, and things are the way, you know, you can't do shit, you find stuff to do. Like, we walk, play my dog, I walk, you know, you're going to hang out. And then, of course, like, the pollution. You know, there's the pollution in New York and even India. Everybody shut down in India, and things are fucking, wow, you know, these things are happening. Coronavirus left in absolute shock after finding 25 adults and children at a karaoke party. Again.
Wait, do you say coronavirus left in shock?
No, meaning coronavirus is a topic of the story.
Coronavirus was like, what?
Police
25
left.
25 people doing karaoke.
I'm heading over.
Fucking all of them.
Police left in absolute shock after finding 25 adults and children at a karaoke party despite being in lockdown. Food trays open all over the place, kids touching the fucking food. Hey, man, listen, I don't care where you're at. If you go somewhere right now and there's like some cold cuts and some cheese and some fucking crackers on a fucking table, are you going to eat it? You know what I'm saying?
Depends on if there's alcohol in my system or not.
Susie, did you wipe down all this cheese before you put it on the table? Police in Derbyshire, this is in England, I guess, were left in absolute shock after finding a massive karaoke party despite the coronavirus lockdown.
Wait a minute, 25 people is massive?
Yeah, well, they're all big. They're eating cheese. Derbyshire police said of officers were called to the address.
There's a plethora of people here.
Many. 10 people on Saturday were found gathering of 25 adults and children. See, when you put the kids in there, it's not that many. Sharing the discovery via its Derby West response team Twitter account, it said officers have just attended an address in absolute shock.
That could have been a three-person family.
Yeah, that's a Puerto Rican house.
Having a karaoke get together.
Yeah, it's not, man. We just had the music up.
It's a quinceañera.
You know, what do you get? Like, my birthday is on Thursday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So, what am I going to do on my birthday?
You'll hang the fuck
out. I'm going to be fucking Groundhog birthday. Sucks.
You'll walk your dog with maybe a pistol.
Yeah. Someone's getting shot. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Coronavirus in Italy, some of the most surprising excuses of people having to leave their home. Now, in Italy, it's fucked up. I mean, people are dying as the highest death rate in Italy. They're you know what I mean? It's bad.
Yeah.
And a lot of people saying a lot of older men were the target in Italy.
Oh, you know, man. Hey,
why do you got to fuck with me, eh? Coronavirus in Italy, some of the...
Did it start off at a strip club?
Yeah. Hey, we got to go see the girl. She's nice. She knows my ATM number. It's a 4421. Despite tough restrictions imposed by the government in an effort to contain the coronavirus, some people are still saying, hey, I got to go get some cigarettes.
Cigarettes? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No.
What's the reason?
One reason is love. One man from Asila, wow, just south of Rome, said he was trying to win back an ex-fiancée. We broke off their relationship a few hours earlier, he wrote. She left me. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, it's terrible.
She goes, don't poor come guy out. Don't get in the coronavirus.
Is this what this is? Like romance yeah, back in the day? It's like just Gestapo keeping you yeah inside, but you're gonna yeah you're risking your life for love?
I must see my woman. I love her.
Oh, man.
Well, pussy make you do crazy
things.
I mean,
it's Italy. That
yeah,
is,
they're drinking know the wine and fucking in the prosciutto
over there.
Gatherings, a man in his 20s wrote on his form that he was going to a friend's home to have dinner, a clear violation. Meanwhile, two women lied and said they were visiting an elderly and sick aunt. They had 9-inch heels on and makeup and looked like slippers.
Is that was his excuse?
These women said they were out and they were going out, but they said they were going to see a sick aunt.
Probably with corona?
Yeah. That's just a coincidence.
You just let them go after that. Yeah. All right. Well, some people okay have to die.
Sorry, I just thought I'd ask. After some digging by police, the aunt turned out to be a healthy 40-year-old woman. Let's go see.
We just wanted to play bridge.
Let's go see Rand. Oh, my God, she's hot. That reminds me of a time my stepdaughter, when she was younger, she was dating this little older guy who's like 19, and she was like, you know what I mean? It was like 6'7", 6'7". He was, and you know, it was first told to us like, hey, we're gonna go to Disney World for a night. You know, we're all going together. We're going with his aunt, his this, his that, and using the words that made you think that these are older folks. Mm-hmm. So after the said and done, when they were here, we found out the aunt's like 19. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, you know that. So you told your mom that you were going to stay with his aunt and da da da. Meanwhile, his aunt is your
Spanish
age.
Spanish family?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? The kid was like, well, I remember this kid, Nick. And he was like, well, you know, I said, Nick, you got 5 seconds to get the hell out of this house before I throw you out a fucking window. Because I already told him, you're old. You know, I'm not happy about this relationship in the first place. But I'm the stepdad. What am I going to say? Smoking habits. One man traveled from Formello to Rome, a 30-mile drive south, he said. He was just going to buy some cigarettes.
Wow. 30 miles to get cigarettes.
Yeah.
That should be against the law.
That better be, yeah. You know, I arrest you. Why? You're so stupid.
Has Walmart changed their hours yet? I feel like they're the only ones who are like,
they're okay. You know, I tell you why, with all the self-checkout counters and shit, I mean, you can really, like, my wife does all the shop. You know, I said, mm-hmm, like, I told you, I haven't really been about anybody since our last show, I think, and, you know, the one lady at work and my wife, my, you know, daughter comes in here, she's a nurse.
I mean, shout out all the nurses, yeah, man.
That's the front line, right?
Yeah.
That's the front line, dealing with that shit, having to deal with that on and off, because you're right there. That's,
and then shout out to all the family members of the healthcare providers that are on the front line.
Right.
Well, they're coming home with that.
I know,
stuff,
because when she comes to my house, I'm looking at my wife like, I'll be in my room. You know what I mean? But it's a weird feeling, right?
Yeah.
You don't know.
No, you don't know, man.
Look at these people that are getting it, too. You know, like the Prince of England, whatever is, you know, the fucking Queen's husband.
Yeah.
Got it. Boris Johnson, the guy who's the fucking Prime Minister of England.
Man, that's a lot of.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? Michael Yo, the comic who's out of Miami. He's in L.A. now. He just got back at the hospital. I saw him post. I'm like, fuck.
Michael Yo has it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I just saw him post on. But then again, so sometimes you watch as a comic, you're thinking,
it could be funny.
Yeah, as he tried, but it wasn't. It was serious.
Dude, so as a first responder, I had probably like a month ago, I had symptoms of like fever, chill, coughs, all of that type
right
of stuff. So I went to go get tested, and once they started doing the drive-through testing and found care, they got overwhelmed the first day. Over 3,000 people called to get testing done.
Right.
And they called me. They're like, oh, you're a first responder? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, all right, we'll get you in. How's May 6th available?
It'll be gone by then.
May 6th? Yeah, man. May 6th. That's the earliest appointment they have for me. So that's how I feel like a lot of the healthcare providers are going to be, you know, kind of pushed to the back because they're dealing with it. They don't want to lose people.
So you still, you came here, you don't feel good now?
No, I feel amazing.
Oh, okay, good.
I feel amazing.
Shit,
man.
Fuck.
It lasted like a day.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
I want to say a month and a half or something like that.
Who knows? I mean, like I said, I got...
As I'm talking, I hear that you get more nervous. Wait, how long ago was that?
That's all we have time for here.
No, I'm freezing now.
I remember the last time, didn't John Gregory in Miami, I think Comic Miami, said he wasn't feeling good, and I did that show with those guys, Manny Garavito and those guys at this place in Miami, and I hugged John. I hadn't seen John in a long time, so I hugged the fucking guy. I'm thinking, and now you're telling me you're fucking not feeling good, bastard? But it was funny because I was in my wife's Jeep, and I drove away from Miami, and it was cool. It was just a few weeks ago, and it was actually cool out, and I had the windows all open. And when I got up the next day, I was like, you know, I couldn't even breathe that night. I'm thinking, oh, no, you know.
John Gregory got me.
John Gregory and that fucking hug. Two men declared that they were going shopping only for police to find out they were selling drugs. Wine.
Right, that's a great reason.
Wine's a reason. In Northern Italy's Padua, a man whom police said had been under the impression that wine was considered a necessity.
It is here.
I drink it every night, man. You know what I mean?
That is actually, you know, I know some restaurants are doing to-go orders.
Yeah, just spicing up the, I know Eddie at Prezzo's in Boca. They used to own the Tavolino's. Eddie are there in Prezzo's in Boca Raton. They would give a free thing of toilet paper.
Oh, nice. With just one roll?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay.
Is
it wrapped up or is it just like free?
They just take it out of the bathroom. Dog walking. By the way, they said in some of these areas you can't really walk your dog. Miami has a curfew past 10 p.m. and you can't be more than 250 feet from your house. You know, I know my dog has got stage fright. He's not going to be. He's got to shit a little further.
He's not going further than 250.
He's got to go further. When he shits, he likes to get a little away from the house.
That's good.
That's why they say dog walking. You know, so listen, Italy's pretty fucked up. So, all right, next story. I like this story. This is a non-coronavirus story.
Okay.
All right.
I'm down.
You guys are asking for it. You got it. What's up, Brett? Walmart closed. By the way, Tim Barrington says Walmart closes at 8 p.m.
Okay.
All right.
All of them? Or is that like the 24
simultaneously,
hours?
They get one phone call.
they say,
shut it down.
The supermarket one. a lot of chains out there.
They have a countdown, too. But Nadim's not doing the countdown. a U.S. man teaching U.S. man teaching dog how to drive arrested after high-speed chase. Some people just take their dogs for a walk.
Wait, what? The dog was leading the police on a high-speed chase?
Yeah.
And then he was like, come on, faster.
Yeah, he was in a green van. Green van called the Mystery Machine. U.S. man, guy was teaching his dog how to drive. Los Angeles, a resident of the western U.S. state of Washington, was arrested following a high-speed chase that left officers dumbfounded after they found the man's pit bull behind the wheel.
Oh, that's the worst dog to try to teach anything. It was like a German Shepherd or something.
Yeah, it was smart. Yeah, driving a BMW. The incident unfolded on Sunday afternoon after police received calls about a driver hitting two vehicles in the area of South Seattle, then speeding away. Oh, and dropping his bone. She said the emergency services subsequently got multiple calls about a car traveling erratically at more than 100 miles per hour.
This dog was all lesson.
Axman said that as officers gave chase, they got close to the vehicle, a 1996 Buick, and were shocked to see the pit bull in the driver's seat and a man steering and pushing the gas pedals from the passenger side.
It was like, it's all him. It's him.
I wasn't reckless driving.
I was trying to stop him.
He stole the car. I can't walk him because of this fucking quarantine.
This can't be real. This is not a real story.
The pursuit ended after police deployed spike strips, which wasn't actually metal things. It was a few dogs named Spike. Where is that? Fuck, that's what happens when you tell a joke between a fucking story.
Ridiculous, yo.
Isn't this like this? Here's a guy who actually does this. So, arrested.
If he could pull that off, though.
Yeah.
Imagine.
They arrested 51-year-old Alberto Tito Alejandro Ogafigura, a Spanish guy owning a pit bull.
That's terrible.
Who was booked on multiple felonies, including driving under the influence of drugs. When we took him into custody. Yeah, the dog was caught with 4 pounds of heroin shoved up his ass.
Got a kilo, man.
Yeah, the fucking pit bull had his own crack pipe.
That's terrible.
That's not mine, man. When we took him into custody, he admitted to our troopers that he was trying to teach his dog to drive. Some people teach their dog how to sit, stay, and fetch. I like to teach my dog to drive. I've been a trooper for almost 10 years, the guy said. I have a lot of excuses, but never one like this. Axman said the female pit bull, which was not aggressive toward the arresting officer, had been placed in an animal shelter, but later escaped driving away in a Jeep. That's a great story.
Oh, man. That was amazing.
Brett Morris says,
Go down to history, man.
Brett Morris says, a German speedered. Tom Barrington says, nice dog. The dog was driving. He got a fine for not having a license. That's pretty good. I thought of a new joke with this whole thing going on. You know, coronavirus joke. You know, I just heard the president of Mexico is going to have build the wall with America, and he's going to pay you the make the U.S. pay for it.
That's pretty good.
All right, how things have changed, as they'd say. What a great story, man. He knows how to parallel park.
I'm going to have to look that up.
That story?
Yeah. I'll look that up.
Oh, my God. What could top that? That's like somebody going up crushing. And now we have to come up with a, you know what I mean?
A better story.
A better fucking story.
That one for last.
Right? That should have been I should have sequenced it better.
Man.
All right, we're good. This isn't a 2 hour in crisis, in times of crisis special, but. I can't believe I did 2 hours. My wife was like waiting to eat. She was like, holy shit. I was like, I thought I was worried about being able to do an hour by myself. I didn't even want to do the stories. Here's a good story. What's a urine garden? Do you know what a urine garden is?
How do you spell it?
Urine as in?
A pea garden? Pee-pee.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that.
Why is Conway West building one at his $14 million Wyoming ranch?
What?
No one can excuse Kanye West of lacking originality, except my dog. The self-proclaimed innovator's latest bold idea, a urine garden, which he plans to have installed at the $14 million, 6,000-acre compound him and his skank wife Kim Kardashian own. West are currently
She's
building
one of those
in
girls
Wyoming.
That made it out of the strip club, man.
Yeah, man.
You know,
you watch those big flated asses. They never worked at the strip club, did they?
No.
I don't think so.
Not as well.
It's always amazing, though, when you're strip club, and there's always that one girl that, when the music slows down, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And her name's like something like Montana or some shit. Right? And then you're like, oh, I got to get her on the 2-for-1. You know, I would wait for the 2-for-1.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and then they here comes Montana. Hey.
Line them up, ladies.
And then you get all excited, you know, and then somebody else gets ahead of you. Like
grabs
you,
her.
Yeah, you're like, hey, dude. Like, yeah, that's why you got to get up to the stage and be the gentleman. Let me help you down. Hi, I'm the white knight.
All the secrets.
I'm the new white knight.
Are you wearing shorts? Yeah, they're short sweatpants.
Yeah, they're designer shorts. 6,000-acre compound with his wife and in Wyoming, which, you know, it's interesting if you want to escape the apocalypse. You should probably head inward. And that's just one of the many interesting elements of Design West revealed about it. You may have seen the Kardashian West crew in Instagram's post shows showing some of their adventures in Wyoming. Blah, 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 blah. I want to hear more about the urine garden. That's it, really?
The urine garden. Yeah, you didn't tell me what it is.
Yeah.
You're just like, do you know what it is?
Let's see here. Nope. The plans, which was created by consulting architect Claudio Silverstrand.
Oh, man, you got an architect to do it.
And light artist James Turrell, and a light artist.
Wow.
Feature a series of seven dome-shaped rooms to be a part of a closed-loop ecology for energy and water capture. And yep, the space-age possibility sustainable spread will include what is dubbed as the urine garden. We know that you're thinking, what the fuck is a urine garden? Well, according to the news, aquaponic-like system that converts human pee-pee into lemonade. No, I'm not kidding. Into plant food. And it's unclear how he's going to do it. But he is, what's his nickname?
Yay.
Yay, yay. I almost got into a fight with Puff Daddy.
You did?
Yep. Well, not me. I was almost involved in a fight with him and his crew and my fellas.
Really?
Yeah, Nikki Beach in Miami.
When was this?
2000, early 2000, whatever it was.
All right, let's hear this story.
I was talking about my infamous friend Rick, my Swedish buddy that was him and I would go to the strip clubs together and drive our Porsches and that kind of, you know what I mean? It was big boss. Yeah, we were like fucking, we always say we were Crockett and Tubbs.
You're peacocking.
Yeah. And
Puff Daddy was peacocking.
Well,
too.
No, we had been in South Beach all weekend. Mm-hmm. So Sunday comes, we go down to Nikki Beach. That's where the recovery is. You go hang out. We're in the tents out back. You know, the caravan, you know what they call it? The cabanas and shit. And there's like all this food, like a long big table of food, you know, all this big breads and, you know, cheeses. Like they had at that
cold
party,
with
all that karaoke party. You know what I mean? All this great food, right? Like a brunch line. It's basically whatever. So we're all whacked out and stuff. And it's like 12 of us. There's like four, you know, girls. And we're sitting there. And I'm just chilling. I'm just laying there. Because I was never good on Sunday after partying that hard. I was always like, ugh. And sitting there, all of a sudden, I get up again. And then he's there, right? And then he's on the other side of the table, Puff Daddy. And my buddy Rick is sitting there. And Rick looks at, he's looking, there's like a thing of rolls, like bread.
Mm.
And he's sitting there. He's like, hey, he's sitting there. He goes, he looks at him. He goes, hey, these aren't so Puff Daddy.
Is that what did it?
He goes,
set it off?
And he goes, Puff Daddy goes, what the fuck did you say? And all I said was,
after that was classic Puff Daddy, right?
And
there.
He said, what the
this
fuck did you
Puff
say?
Puff Daddy, not
yeah,
P. Diddy.
This is when he was Puff Daddy.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, and I go, fuck, you know, and I started laughing and then he looked at me like I was laughing at him because I was laughing at it. And then some other guy comes up and says something. He goes, what the, and he came around the corner to Rick, and then Rick didn't even say nothing. He just fucking hit him in the fucking chest because he was coming at him from across the table. And then I jumped over and the other people jumped in and it was fun. It was, you know, but basically it was, you know, Rowland, and Betty broke it up.
Nice.
And, you know,
Nobody went to jail.
Separate away. Same, similar situation happened at Gold Rush one night.
That
strip club. Yeah. And the same guy, he ends up punching Alonzo Mourning in the stomach.
Yeah. This guy likes celebrity altercation.
He does. I'm telling you, bro.
He makes good stories.
Nah, dude. That's why I hung out with him all the time. I used to go do everything. It was funny. There was nights we'd be in South Beach. We'd be hanging out, partying, and all of a sudden he'd be gone. And I'd be by myself in South Beach. I'd be like, well, that's Irish
goodbye.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He would just hook up or he was just that, you know.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't, when I'd go, I'd hang out. I had a girl, you know, I'm not going to, but he'd hook up with chicks and, crazy.
Fun time, sounds
like. Oh, the good old days, baby. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We probably should have ended on the fucking dog story.
No, man.
That was all right? That came up with some other stuff. Maybe I'll get a little more detail. On the morning, the Alonzo Mourning story was actually funny. That there was some arrests that night. I don't want to say arrest. There was detainment. Like, you know, we ended up being pulled out, and of course, Alonzo's crew stayed in the club.
Of course,
you know, we ended up getting pulled out. But one of the guys with us was a pretty. Well, I'll go ahead and say it. One of the guys was actually a gun runner for the mob.
Okay.
That was in our group. I didn't know this.
It's a good guy.
I didn't know this till long. But a lot of this shit I didn't know until after the shit, because the stories were oh, and that was so-and-so. And then, and I knew. Like, there was this one guy Robbie used to hang out with. I told the story before. There was a guy Robbie used to hang out with. He was a good-looking dude, real well-built, and he had money and shit. And he was supposed to, he used to do big equipment to Central America, tractors, plow, like farm equipment stuff. And I'm sure that's money. The front, I mean, the business he had, right? But then one day we're at a place called Moonshadow right in South Beach, I think it's called. And we're sitting in the VIP area, and I come walking in, and my buddy, him, and the other guy who was the, I just told you, they're like, yeah, go sit. So I go sit in these, and these are bad-looking fucking Spanish dudes all hanging out, you know, just chilling. And I sit down, and dude, you would have think I just stepped on somebody's, you know, cat. They all fucking looked at me like they were going to kill me, dude. And I'm a tough guy, but there was a moment that I go, oh, this is not like an eerie villain. And it turned out there were like eight of the Latin kings. Main guys of King Gedi.
You just sat down.
And I just sat down in between them. Like, yeah.
Who's is in my bread? It's cheese.
You're so Puff Daddy. yeah, but then of course, Robbie comes over. He's like, yeah, he's with us. And they're like, all right, you know, whatever. And it was just like, but you could tell. But it turns out that guy was a gun runner for people in fucking Central America stuff. Dude, and you don't know. These weren't people like, oh, you know what I do? You know, and they tell you, like, I'm a mob. No, they don't tell you that shit.
No.
Anyway, you heard it first, everybody. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Thanks to Jay Guy for coming in today, by the way.
Thanks for having me, man.
And like I said, guys, from this point forward, Jay stepped up first co-host of the week on our new Tuesdays at 6. Wake Up Late with Dougie Show live Tuesdays at 6 right here in Danger Studios. And we'll see who steps up next week. But also, I mentioned Lenny Travis is back. Back in the studio. By the way, Tim says nice red pants.
Thanks.
those are Richard Simmons pants. No, Richard Simmons used to wear those bike shorts. Remember those dolphin type little shorts?
It's a great image to end the podcast
on. Why not? He's gone, by the way. He's still alive, but he doesn't want to get out. He's not happy the way he looks.
Oh, man.
So anyway, Tuesdays at 6, and then we'll be here. I wish I had some comedy shows to plug. I got a busy schedule in May. I don't think that's going to happen. Now I'm supposed to go to Colorado Springs, Oklahoma City, Little Rock. I don't know if that's going to happen. A couple comics said that we think by June we're probably back out of the social distancing.
It's a minute from now.
Yeah, April, May. You'll probably end up doing April, May. Maybe mid-May. But that's the thing. That's the period. And you know what? Like I said, guys, stay away. You know, take this moment. And you know, like I said, if you're out there and you know, like I'm going to be working on this. I got to talk to the wife. I think I'm going to commit at least $1,000 into starting, and then I'm going to reach out and look for needy comics. You know what I mean? People that are really
do it
and see if we can get a real big following on it and have more and more come in. Next thing you know, you expand who it gets to and stuff. So, but yeah, give, man, and don't fucking hoard. I need toilet paper, goddammit. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, it's just crazy. And stay well, right?
Stay
you too
safe,
on the
man.
Front lines out there,
thank
dude. Don't fucking coughing on you and shit. And
yeah,
you know,
let's not do that. But yeah, man, thank you.
Our friend Sherry Falwell says, my birthday is in June. We will still be practicing social distancing then. I don't know. I think June.
Maybe she's just talking about her personal birthday. That's
yeah, she's like, I had enough of you fucking people. I think what should happen is, by the way, when this does clear up, I'm gonna do the complete opposite. You know, during social distancing, you get the social media, you're in there all the time. But when this is over, I think I'm off.
You think so?
I think I'm gonna take a 30-day. Like, I might go on there just promotion stuff. You know what I mean? Even just use my fan page if I. But in the last 2 weeks, the shit, the nonsense. You know what I mean? It's just. And like I said, man, I mean, enough of the fucking arguing, everybody. No more arguing, no more yelling at people, no more blame. You know, we talked about team sports, you know. Somebody said something to me, like, oh, I said, you know, you're like the person that you're playing baseball with, and in the middle of the inning starts yelling at you for not catching the ball or throwing the ball to the right base. You know what I mean? You ever, like, playing with somebody, and they're like, hey, man, you're supposed to throw it fucking. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
It's a fucking game, bro. Anyway, play the game, everybody. Be safe. Forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on Instagram at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and Twitter. How about you?
Stand Up Jake Guy on Instagram.
There you go, guys. Thanks again for watching. God bless. I don't know how to shut this bitch off.
Stay safe.
How do you shut it off? Oh, there it is. Oh. There you go, guys. Thanks again. We'll be back next Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Take care.
See ya.
Children of the sun.